This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The New Yorker Radio Hour is supported by the Sympathizer podcast from HBO. From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr., The Sympathizer is the new HBO original limited series based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel of the same name. On the Sympathizer podcast, join host Philip Nguyen in conversation with the cast, crew, and author Viet Thanh Nguyen as they discuss the making of this historic series. Stream new episodes of HBO's The Sympathizer, Sundays exclusively on Max, and listen to The Sympathizer podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hello? Yeah. Testing. Testing. 1, 2, 3. It works.
Well, the one we've been reading most recently, do you want to talk about the Mysterious Benedict Society?
I can kind of explain it. I'm not very good at explaining books than I am as reading.
But it's called the Mysterious...
Yeah. The Mysterious Benedict Society.
And what is that?
What is that, he says?
It's a book.
David, come on.
What a knucklehead I am.
Yeah.
Daniel Alarcón is an acclaimed fiction writer and a journalist, and he's reported on Latin America for The New Yorker. But I called him recently not to talk about writing so much, but about what he's been reading.
Okay, so a year ago, everything in my life changed. I used to teach a couple nights a week. I used to travel a lot, either report or give readings or do things like that. I used to play soccer in the evenings. All of that changed. All of that stopped, of course. And I was stuck at home with this, you know, bright, inquisitive 7-year-old. So I just started, you know, doing the thing that parents do, which is to read to our kids. And I think like the first book that we read that I enjoyed reading as much as he enjoyed hearing was a book called Zorga Mizu.
Zorga Mizu, I don't know that one.
It's just a poem. It's a long novel in verse, and I just got really into the performance of it. And that's the thing that was fun for me and has been fun for me, is like doing the voices, doing the dialogue. Zorga Mizu is a crazy adventure story, like all these books are. The protagonist is a young girl, you know, drawn into another universe. But I just got really into it, you know, like I would just the cadence and the bounciness of it and just dig the rhythm of it. Here's a story that's stranger than strange. Before we begin, you may want to arrange a blanket, a cushion, a comfortable seat, and maybe some cocoa and something to eat. I'll warn you, of course, before we commence, my story is eerie and full of suspense, brimming with danger and narrow escapes and creatures of many remarkable shapes, dragons and ogres and gorgons and more, and creatures you've never even heard of before. In faraway places, there's plenty of those, and menacing villains to tingle your toes. So who doesn't like...
A kind of a Seussian rhythm there.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I used to give readings of my own work, and I enjoyed it. I think it's fun being in front of people. And now I had like an audience of one, but I just got really into it.
Dan, you had another pick?
I did. Yeah, I did. We read early on this book called El Defo, which is a graphic novel by a woman named C.C. Bell. And I liked it for a number of reasons, but essentially the story is of her losing her hearing as a young girl. She had meningitis at age 4, you know, this challenging new situation where she couldn't hear anything and had to wear a special hearing apparatus. For her in the 70s, it was basically like, you know, putting a cassette recorder around her neck, like wearing it like a necklace, and having a microphone she had to carry everywhere and a headset. And in order to sort of like deal with this new reality, she, you know, she kind of created this superhero in her mind called El Defo. And it's really funny and very moving, sort of how she identifies with this superhero and how she uses that superhero's personality to turn, you know, a disability into a superpower. It's really great.
The exercise is called Pick Three. So what is the third book that you really treasure reading to Eliseo?
The last book I wanted to mention is called The Wild Robot. The Wild Robot is essentially this tanker ship full of robots, like runs aground, sinks, and drops a container full of robots that wash up onto an island. One of them survives, turns on somehow, and is trying to understand its new surroundings, trying to figure out what it is, if it's an animal, if it's where it belongs in the universe of beings that inhabit this island. And on the island, animals also don't know what to make of the robot. Eventually, the robot sort of becomes one of them, becomes wild. It's a magical book because it talks about sort of this interface between technology and nature, and also very moving. Not to give any spoilers, but that's not true. I'm going to give a spoiler, but there's a specific reason I'm going to give a spoiler because it's so moving to me. It was the first book that Eliseo really wept at, honestly. He was so moved by it, and I was so moved by it. I was like, my voice was breaking as I read the end. When the robot has some kind of homing signal that the technology company can hear, and they come for him in this sort of idyllic, island paradise. And at that point, the robot has the choice. He knows that they want him. They want the robot. They don't want anyone else. The animals who've come to love him want to protect the robot. And he instead decides to basically turn himself in order to protect them. And at that point, it's just waterworks in our house. It's a really lovely book, really lovely.
It's amazing to think that kids cry from books, that they're so deeply moved, and despite the power of the screen, that a book can really reach down that far still.
Yeah, and I think we've been all fighting, during this pandemic to try against the primacy of the screen. It's everywhere. It's how they're doing school. It's how they're seeing friends. It's a constant. And, to be able to find books that are, page turners and moving and teach you something without being didactic, and entertain, crucially entertain, and make the kids laugh, and feel things and think about things. It's just been a joy. It's just been a joy. And all those hours that I've spent with him, I don't think that I'm not going to look back on this year fondly, but there are things that I will remember, and reading with my son is one of them.
Daniel Alarcón, who is a novelist, short story writer, a radio broadcaster, and a writer for The New Yorker. Daniel, thank you so much.
Thanks, David. Appreciate it.
You can read everything that Daniel Alarcón has written for us at newyorker.com.